Well, this morning, something a little bit different, or wildly different than normal, is, you know, last week, we celebrated year 30, and so this is, and I think it's in your bulletin there, kind of celebrating or entering year 31 and a new season. So we will get to back to the book of Romans next week, and we'll do that for a couple weeks before we get to, you know, a Christmas message or two. But if you would this morning, would you turn in your Bibles to the New Testament book of the Acts of the Apostles and the 16th chapter. I love that sound. Bible pages being turned. Again, something different today. Acts chapter 16, just a few verses out of this as we enter into year 31 here in Rogers, Arkansas, Calvary Chapel in the Ozarks. And would you join me for a word of prayer, and then we'll get started with this. Lord, as we think about this in this new season, we're grateful as we look back, and so grateful for last week's message. And I guess I can pause the prayer. If you didn't listen to last week's, everybody here, like, you need to listen to last week's message. And so, Lord, thank you for last week's message and for Pastor Paul and for Cindy, all those, I mean, decades ago, to come here with their little kids, to have that kind of confident faith of what you were doing and not even able to see all of it, but they knew you were asking them for that season in their lives. And then nearly 19 years later, as you asked them to return to California, and they served faithfully at the Bible school, the Bible college in Murrieta for a number of years. And then, Lord, unexpectedly, you asked them to return home to Calvary Chapel Modesto, where they started. And you've been using them there. And we're just so grateful that this church exists, of course, obviously, because of your faithfulness. And your faithfulness includes the faithfulness of your people who are willing to do your work. So we really do celebrate, and we thank you for the Lester family. It wasn't just Pastor Paul and all the work that you called them to do. As we enter now, and we've officially already, I mean last week, entered year 31 and this new season, and what you have in store, oh Lord, just help me as I deliver this message. And help us as a congregation to be excited about you, and I suppose, obviously you, I suppose that we'd be excited about what you do. And the gospel message, as we've been spending nearly 2 years in the book of Romans, but it's so important that we really understand the gospel, what it is, the ins and outs of how it works, of how a person is saved, and then as we're these past weeks and these coming weeks and coming months, as we look at how to live the Christian life, Lord, we take this seriously here. And so for us as a congregation, that we really would dig into this and trust you for your leading in our own lives and your leading for us as a congregation. So we do commit all of this to you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So it's in Acts chapter 16 that you find, pick it up in verse 6. Here's Paul and the guys, and obviously the call that they had on their lives to go and preach the gospel. And Paul in particular called to the Gentile nations. So verse 6, now when they had gone through Phrygia, here's your cheesy joke. It sounds really cold there. I'm so sorry. They'd gone through the region of Galatia. Think about this in context. They were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Like, wait a minute, what? So their calling was to go and preach the gospel specifically to the Gentile people, to non-Jewish people. And so in seeking to do that, in seeking to fulfill their call, like, well, let's go here. And the Holy Spirit himself, however exactly he did this, however exactly he communicated, no. Wait. Almost time out, Lord. And it's an interesting thing here in Acts chapter 16. And it's a bit of a side note too, is they wanted to go to the region of Galatia and the Holy Spirit said no. Well, we have a letter written to the church in the region of Galatia, right? Someone else went. Like, Paul, I don't need you to go. Someone else will cover that. So the Holy Spirit says no. Verse 7, after they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. And here's what's noticeably absent, just even in those two verses. What's noticeably absent, I'm going to put in the form of a question. How? How did he say, no? No, you're not to do that. Was it a dream? Was it a vision? Was it circumstance? It was just, this is not working. We're trying to go declare the gospel there, and the Lord is saying no. So, verse 8, passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And then verse 9, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia, he stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. That's an interesting connection, where you have Paul and the guys wanting to go fulfill their calling, to do what they're called to do, and along the way, the Lord, no. Along the way, the Lord, no. Lord, come on, what are we supposed to do? And then this dream that he has, and we're trying to go to these different places, and the message there is, would you please come help us? And what do you think Paul was going to do? Go fulfill more of what he was called to do. And in that particular place, they needed them to go there. Again, the region of Galatia, Paul, we don't need you. We got it covered. Someone else will be there. Well, Lord, you do what you're called to do. Verse 10, and this is where I'd like to just focus a few minutes here. After they had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia. This is like one of those things, almost a duh kind of a moment. You know, is it something you pray about, or is that an answer to prayer? And probably yes to both those things. And then notice this word, concluding, I'm reading from the New King James, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. If you're a King James person, it says, assuredly gathering. We don't use that word very often in terms of conclusions. You know, I've gathered as much. I've thought this through. Another translation said, for it seemed certain to us that we should go to Macedonia. And the Greek for that word concluding is in the New King James, or to gather, is to put together. We've put kind of one and one together. We're seeking, or one and one and one, I suppose. We're seeking to go and do this. We're called to this. The Lord is saying, no, you can't go there, and you can't go there, but this region needs help, so I guess we're good. You'll find earlier in the book of Acts some interesting passages as Paul and the guys would make their way to these various places. You discover that they had fulfilled their ministry in certain places. You find this at the very end of chapter 12, for example. They fulfilled their ministry. And their mission was to go and obviously preach the gospel. Calvary Chapel, right? This is, hey, church, be the church. That's not like some foreign concept. It shouldn't be. And of course, they were to make disciples. And then as disciples were made, things were to be put in order and done the right way. It was great not last Wednesday, but the Wednesday before, which of course was the actual 30th anniversary of the church here. You know, we did some various testimonies and some various kind of discussions with people, and your time in Calvary Chapel, and how did the Lord bring you here. And by the way, if you're new or visiting today, this is just an out-of-the-box, kind of very different message than you'll normally hear here at Calvary Chapel. But, you know, it was so many people like, yeah, we came to Calvary Chapel because the Bible, the emphasis upon that. And I interviewed Pastor Paul's wife, Cindy, and, you know, what brought you here? Like, well, as a family, we moved here to go start Calvary Chapel, you know. But she said that, and I love that she made this comment, that when they were called here, all the way back in 1994, they just thought that they would be here forever, you know, that they'd be here for as long as the Lord would have them, and they assumed that would be the rest of their lives. And then, of course, he called them to Marietta as I was, you know, praying for them as a family and just thinking back on their life, too. And now they're back at Calvary Chapel in Modesto. And the Lord seems to do that with certain of His servants, with certain of, I'm going to use this word specifically now, not just certain of His servants, but certain of His soldiers. In fact, would you turn with me to another place, 2 Timothy chapter 2. This is an easy enough reference to remember. 2 Timothy 2:2. If you remember the Timothy part, you're in good shape. Actually, verse 1 is a good enough starting point there too. Paul writing to his friend Timothy, young pastor Timothy, he says, "You therefore," 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." And of course, Timothy, part of his responsibility as a pastor was to declare the grace of God. And Paul wanted to make sure Timothy was clear, not just in what you're declaring to people, but for you too. You need this as well. It's not just for the people per se, Timothy. You be strong in this. And then he says, and, verse 2, "And the things that you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." At our servants' meeting on Friday night, kind of gave some updates on how things are going with the church and whatnot, and here's some information about the future and all. But I highlighted this verse for a lot of our servants that were able to make that particular meeting. And notice the almost processional. It's a process, but it's almost a processional here in verse 2. Paul writing to his friend Timothy, "The things that you've heard from me." So Paul to Timothy, "You've heard certain things from me. Timothy, you're to take those things and commit those to other people. And those other people are going to commit those to other people." So it's this process. And Paul writing that all that time ago, all those decades and just ages ago. And here we are in Rogers, Arkansas, still doing that work. That processional has continued. Well, he says in verse 3, writing to his friend Timothy about, of course, committing these things to faithful men and being strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus, "You therefore must endure..." Wait, what? Hardship? How many of you are excited about the word hardship in your Christian lives? I'd like to endure flowers and lollipops. You know, I just want butterflies and happy green fields forever. And no, you endure hardship. And then he gives a picture as or like, in other words, in the same manner that a good soldier would endure hardship. And specifically, as a good soldier, prepositional phrase, of Jesus Christ. Then he explains this a little bit. No one engaged in warfare. Warfare? Well, this is the gospel. Mm-hmm, indeed. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life so that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. So Timothy, as you commit these things, as I've committed them to you and you commit them to other faithful men who will commit them to other people as well, this process, this almost processional, this is exactly what soldiers do, isn't it? Where they train up the next troops. They make sure the next troops are aware of what they're to do. And soldiers, well, I'll say this, we, right, church, we do what we're told. We go where we're sent. And we complete the mission assigned to us. And once that mission is complete, ideally, we're readying those who follow, those who will take our place. We replace those who will take our post. And the process beautifully repeats. With that in mind, and that said, in particular there again, Acts chapter 16, and that particular word in verse 10 where I wanted to focus that little bit of attention, that conclusion. We have, Christy and I have, concluded that the Lord has asked us this coming spring into summer to move to our next post, our next mission, our next assignment. We've spoken with Pastor Josh, our board of directors, and we notified as many people as possible, kind of ahead of time, some of our servants that lead in key areas here at the church, and we couldn't possibly connect with everyone ahead of time, and I'm sorry that we couldn't do this. But we've concluded that the Lord has asked us to move to New Zealand next year. To say this is bittersweet only begins to describe it. We understand that going to a new post means leaving your current post. And this is maybe the wrong word, but I'm going to use it because I can't think of a better one right now. Like, we hate that. Love the going, hate the leaving. Here we are on this side of eternity, and you don't get both. I imagine on into eternity, and I don't know exactly how this will work. Like, there's just different glimpses in the book of Revelation, for example, about what heaven's going to be like. I mean, you realize in heaven, this is a total side note, but like, there's no sun. Because the Lord Himself is that light. And I think about this as just how my brain works. Like, that means if there's no sun because He is that light, there won't be anything for darkness. There won't even be such thing as shadows. Because a shadow is a place where the light can't quite reach. And so I imagine how eternity works. I also imagine that not only can there be no shadows, I imagine that there won't be goodbyes. But here we are. And as good soldiers of Christ Jesus, there's still work to be done. And the sense of this, and I'm going to give you guys a few questions that you might have, and maybe you don't, but I'm going to now offer you some questions and you'll now have them. But the thing with missions is it's still needed. It's still needed. There's so many people that have never heard the name of Jesus, that don't have what we have. And so what I've been called to do and what we as a family have been called to do is to kind of do this sort of work, to preach the gospel, to hopefully make disciples and hopefully put things in order. And at some point in concluding that, in concluding, gathering that you've fulfilled your mission, well, you need someone to replace you in this post. And so the obvious no-brainer, although there's been tons of prayer, Pastor Josh will be taking the helm next year. And I can't tell you just how excited I am about that. And also disappointed because I won't be here to just watch him dig in and get to work. I'm excited about that. And I mentioned this to some folks, that the honor for me as your pastor in a few months' time, I mean, it's, you know, 6 or 7 months away, that I'm going to be able to say along with you, our pastor. And we're going to be able to lay hands on Pastor Josh and, you know, and Steph as them as a couple leading, and to be able to, I'm going to be able to say, this is now my pastor. And this church, which has been our post for nearly 11 years, will become our home church and our sending church. And this is not what we anticipated when we moved here. All those years spent overseas, Christy and I kind of had this sense of, we're done with missions. And almost as in Acts chapter 16, the Lord said, no, you're not. We've got a grandkid and another on the way. You're not done with missions. So the questions that are probably being pondered, well, why you guys? And couldn't there be someone else? And of course, the correct answer is yes, obviously there could be someone else, but that's not what the Lord's done. And all of us in our Christian lives, and even just almost set aside your Christianity for one half second, as decent citizens, you should always be the someone else that gets to it. And all the more so for us as believers. But someone else, sure, there very well could be, but whoever that might be, they've not been asked and they're not available, whoever they are. And almost, it's not quite a mirror image because I didn't have any vision or that kind of thing of a man of New Zealand saying, come over and help us. But the relationships that we have with the folks there, they've said, could you come over here and help us? The main goal there is to establish a school of ministry. I want to say there's 9 Calvary chapels in the entire nation of New Zealand. Now, follow how this works. Of these 9 churches, there are 7 senior pastors. Just process that for a second. You're doing the math here. You can work that out. One of the brothers that pastors a church had another group of Christians about an hour south of them and called and said, can you please send someone here? And he said, no, I can't because there's no one to send. Like, well, if we rent a place, would you come on Sunday nights and would you come and be our pastor and give us the word? And like, okay, well, I'll have to think about that because it's a huge commitment. And that's what he's been doing. Another one of the, so he's effectively pastoring two of those churches. Another one of the churches, the pastor, I don't know, maybe 2 years ago, maybe a year ago or so, just kind of left, moved, and they've been trying to piecemeal keep this thing going, and I don't know if it, I actually don't even know if it's still there at this point. So, well, are you going to go and pastor a church? No. The hope would be that we'd be able to raise New Zealanders, as Paul would say to Timothy, to help other people to continue this procession of doing this work. So, again, someone else, for us, we really do believe that the mission is accomplished here, or at least fulfilled in the sense of all that I can do. And for me, I know my own strengths and my own weaknesses, and I really do believe, and I, not because I'm self-deprecating to a fault, but I really believe that I just can't take this any further. And I'm also so confident with the, well, can there be someone else? There doesn't need to be, in that Calvary Chapel in the Ozarks is in such capable hands. Such capable hands. And you've heard me say this, if you've been here at this church any amount of time, how spoiled we are that our assistant pastor, I mean, I'm aware of the conversations that are had by other senior pastors, like, man, you should be pastoring a church somewhere. Like, more than capable. And the other kind of part of this, isn't there someone else, and why you guys actually, well, there is no one else. Well, there's got to be, but there's no one that's either going or willing to go. And the other part of that, of course, if it's always in the conversation of someone else, and the 2,000 years of church history, if it's always someone else, then there's no one else and no one goes. And quite frankly, we're not here in Rogers, Arkansas, because no one would have gone. As for the next question, why now? Things are going really good. It's perfect. You never want to be the kind of person that leaves when things are going terribly. And, well, the Lord's calling us. I mean, really? We had some tough times here at Calvary Chapel in the Ozarks. And early in my ministry here, I came to the realization, aha, this is why people quit the ministry kind of all the time. But Lord, since you asked me to be here, and since as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, I'm meant to endure hardships, then buckle up, good soldier. Just get ready, because this is going to be a wild ride, and it's been, and we're in such a good place to leave it in capable hands. Well, why now? Part of that is, well, there is no good time. When's a good time? I've talked about this before, but, you know, there's never a good time for weddings, funerals, or pastors leaving. When our son got married, they got married in January. This is almost 6 years ago. Is that right? 6 years ago. And like, there are certain members of the family that don't live anywhere near. Like, we can't get there in January. That's fair. It's no good time for weddings. And I don't mean this, especially if you've had someone pass recently. I know we have people in our fellowship that have had that. There's no good time for a funeral. There's just not. As I'm thinking about this, though, why now? The last two major book studies here on Sunday morning, or our Sunday mornings at Calvary Chapel in the Ozarks, besides our Wednesday through the Bible, you know, book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse by verse, on Sunday mornings, we worked through the book of Daniel, talked about the end times, and we're currently in the book of Romans, talking about the gospel. And if, A, we're serious about the gospel, church, then it's always a good time for the gospel. And if we're serious about the end times, like, Jesus could return pretty quickly, and the signs are starting to really be in place. Like, yeah, the clock's ticking on this, and like, then it's a good time to go. And then when you really look at why now and what's a good time, honestly, there in New Zealand, they needed help, I don't know, 10 months ago? I don't know, a year ago? 2 years ago? There's just not the folks to do it. And so the why there, I've kind of alluded to some of this. Again, to raise, to equip, to train, and prepare nationals to do the work. To connect further and potential missionaries to places where pastors and church planters and missions are needed. Christine and I were talking about this too, where when we were in New Zealand, oh, I don't know, 6 months ago or whatever that was, visiting the one church at Calvary Chapel in Auckland, they've been there for 25 years, they had 5 phone calls or emails or something. Hey, church office, could you please send a pastor? Could you send someone to our city here in New Zealand? And their answer was, no, we do not have someone to send. And so a school of ministry will really be, again, to just help encourage, equip, prepare New Zealanders that might be so bold as to like move to a city an hour away or something just crazy and get a job there and try to get something started, or to further help their current pastors, many of whom, this is the wild part, struggle to have a Sunday word. They don't have to be behind the pulpit. And by that, I mean, if they're sick, they might not have someone cover for them. They want to take a vacation or they want to go on holiday. They don't necessarily have someone to cover for them. And if you've ever left the country, and if you've never left the country, you really need to at some point leave the country and see what else is going on around the world. If you've ever been on a mission trip, you have a sense of this. And if you've never been on a mission trip, you really need to go on a mission trip and see what's happening with so much of what's happening in the church around the world. But you have to see this, and you have to see how this works. There's just not an overabundance of people doing the work. Here in America, we're fairly spoiled. We have so much for resources. So obviously the next question, again, well, what about here? Josh will, in the coming months, begin to take more responsibilities. And obviously as I'm handing the role of lead or senior pastor over to him, again, I know my strengths and weaknesses, and I know his strengths, and I'm not worried about his weaknesses, whatever those might be. And one of his great strengths, and he probably hates just listening to me talk about him, but I don't care, tough, get over it. Like, I know one of his great strengths is his genuine heart for people. His pastor's heart, and a pastor, a shepherd. How much he cares for people. And I don't know, I don't want to be silly with this either, but I almost say this to my own shame as your pastor, he's better at it than I am. I know that he and Steph, they love you guys so much. And it's one of many, but one of his great strengths. Okay, well, moving forward into the future, what about here? What happens? How about this? What changes? There's actually 2 answers for this. What changes? Nothing. We're Calvary Chapel. Guess what we do? We teach the Bible. Well, but we teach the Bible. Nothing will actually change in that regard. Well, what changes? Second answer? Hopefully a bunch. Wait, what? So nothing changes, but hopefully a bunch of things change. As in, through the course of any church's history, there should be growth, and yes, the dreaded word, here it comes, change. And there should be updates along the way. In our time here, I mean, talk about an update. We sold the old building and moved across town. That's a little bit of an update. I don't think Josh is planning on selling this building anytime soon, but you never know what the Lord does in adding to the church, and maybe there's a need for that, but that's neither here nor there. What changes? Nothing, because we do what we do. We teach the Bible. We hope to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We hope to love other people. We hope to get the gospel further into our community. Nothing changes. And along the way, updates happen, because if nothing changes, well then, nothing changes. And churches have a tendency of just kind of not necessarily imploding, but just kind of dying because there's no movement, there's no activity, there's no growth, and that's not what you hope to see. Yeah, but that means different faces. Indeed. And I'm speculating here a little bit. I know that we're just not one of the big giant churches in the area, and I know there's probably a lot of people that like that, because you get to know people. And I think if I were to, like, show of hands, who would like to see us grow? There might be some people like, well, not really. I don't like change and I don't want to get to know new people. Well, tough. That's how it actually should work. And I hope that actually a bunch of things change along the way. There's other questions to be asked along the way too, and we're not going anywhere soon. Although 6-7 months, I understand, we'll move pretty quickly. But I am in this, and for us as a church family, asking a handful of things from you. If you consider Calvary Chapel in the Ozarks, you know, as a non-denominational church where we don't even have membership per se, membership is in the category of, do you give to this church? Do you consider yourself part of this church? How about this? If you're ever daring enough to invite someone to church, do you say, would you like to come to church with me? Or do you say, would you like to come with me to my church? Do you believe this is your church home? This is what I'm asking, a few things. Number one, this is probably obvious. What's the first thing I can probably just ask? Pray. Thank you very much. Like, okay, I've fulfilled my calling. I've convinced you that prayer is important. But pray for us, if you please, for Christy and I and the girls too. We've not needed to even plan for an international move in, 11 years. But and that was an international move to move back to the United States of America. And we moved back to the United States of America, I'll tell you what, is a bit of a culture shock, because the nearly 10 years that we were not in the United States of America, and then 10 years later, like, this is a different United States of America. But like 20 years ago, that we had to raise mission support and just get ready for missions. That's been a couple decades. Please pray for us. Please pray for the Dugans as a family too. In particular, of course, it's all of them will need the prayer, but for Pastor Josh, who faithfully continues his service to our community here, not just as at the church and us as the family of, in Christ Jesus, but his job. He's got a number of transitions as well. I'd also encourage you to pray for the obvious. Pray for one another. Pray for us as a fellowship. We just studied a few weeks ago or so in Romans chapter 12, the body of Christ, and we need one another. I would ask for a favor for you in first service people. This is a different one. I'm not going to ask this of second service, and you'll understand why in just a second. Can you try to keep it to yourself in between services somehow? That's really weird to ask, because I'd love for them to hear this not as secondhand as possible. The third thing, of course, would be, for pity's sake, would you be patient with us? Pastor Josh and I have done a lot of different transitions in our ministry and pastoral lives, but we've never done this, or I transitioned into being the pastor here at the church, but never that side of it, this side of it. So please be patient with us. You might be surprised to hear that we might get some things wrong. So if your prayer is, Lord, may they never get anything wrong, maybe reassess your prayer and go to number 3 and be patient with us, because we just won't. And we'll be patient with you if you're praying for us that we get everything exactly right. I might also encourage you, fourthly, to continue in faith. It's in the book of Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. How did you receive Him? By faith. Now that you've received Him by faith, so walk in Him in faith. It's Hebrews 11, isn't it? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. My hope for you, and especially for this particular request for us, church, let's be the church as we continue in faith. It's three main things, and I've probably shared this, I don't know, far too often in the almost 11 years that we're here, but it's worth the repetition, I think. Three things. Number one, God is still God. What changes? Nothing. Number two, God is still good. And number three, God is really good at what He does. And it's really so fascinating over the course of the life of a church. Some of you that were here last week and like, this is our founding pastor, Pastor Paul Lester. You're like, never even seen him. And here we are all these years later. Because do you know what? It still stings, and I get it. But no church, I'm trying to be careful with this, no church is or no church ever should be dependent on their pastor. If a church is dependent on their pastor, that's a bit of an unhealthy church. I did this with our servants meeting the other night too. You guys know that I'm not a repeat after me kind of preacher, but I'm going to do this now. Would you repeat after me with something? Every church should outlive her pastor. Every church should outlive her pastor. We're done. That was all. We should. And I'm so grateful that Paul Lester did such a great job, and our interim pastor, Bill Holdridge, that Paul could leave it in Bill's hands and the hands of our board of directors at that time to say, yeah, we need a new pastor, because Paul was called to go back to California. And here we are. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your faithfulness in this. Every church should outlive her pastor. And kind of finally, I would also ask church, what I really love for you to do in the coming weeks, and then obviously the coming months, and then after we move to our next post, that this would continue. You would seriously just recognize the opportunity for you. If it's just the pastor, the guy that stands behind this particular pulpit, if that's all this is, man, we're missing stuff. So the opportunity for you to be the church, for you to share and declare the gospel, to you to actually walk by faith and, hey, how's it going in your church? Well, actually, great. We take not just the gospel, not just end times, but we take this seriously too. And it's not to be this stagnant thing, and that the Lord is still working, and that there's still missions to be done and missionaries to be sent to the literal 17 time zones from here, ends of the earth. Like, I don't know what time it is right now, but 17, you can do the math on your own, but I think it's like the middle of the night, Sunday into Monday morning in New Zealand. They had their Sunday morning services 17 hours ago. In fact, it's kind of funny, and not all at the same time. There's certain, like, paper. Do you remember paper maps? People use paper. There's certain paper maps, like, here's Australia, and then, like, the edge of the map. New Zealand is often not even found on physical paper maps. Like, to the ends of the earth, that's like, yeah, there's not enough room on the map. People there that are asking, church, people in New Zealand that are asking for pastors, and the pastors of the current churches that are already there, already planted, already established, and their answer is no. We're so sorry, but no. There's literally no one at this point to send. So while you're being patient with us, and while you're hoping to walk in faith and recognizing the gospel opportunities that you have, and you're praying, would you pray for that nation too? I was curious when Christy and I went there last year. You know, I talked to our board of directors. My main curiosity was, how can our little church in Rogers, Arkansas, we meet at an old cabinet shop, which I love. Our Lord Jesus, who spent enough years as a carpenter, I appreciate this building so much. It was, what can our little fellowship do to be a blessing and a resource for the churches there? Fast forward, and the Lord said, actually, I've got something in mind. And the opportunity for us as a fellowship to do some actual gospel work is tremendous. We're going to be here for a while, so I don't need to. Today's not a goodbye. So let's pray. Lord, you are still God, and you're still good, and you're still good at what you do. And I need to first and foremost say thank you that you so far beyond me. You in your goodness and provision and providence and sovereignty, several years ago, asked the Dugan family to move back to Rogers, Arkansas. For Josh to come and take a job and to just be involved at the church here. And the years in which he had already served at Calvary Chapel in the Ozarks. And the years that he had served at Calvary Chapel in Wichita, and you said, I need you to return to Rogers. And Josh had the same question that I did. Well, that's great, but why? And we just kept going and kept doing the best we could and watched you work. And to get to the no-brainer part of this wonderful word that maybe seems unspiritual, we concluded, this is so obvious what you are doing. And as much as pretty much all of us hate the concept of leaving, but the idea of going for the sake of the gospel while there is still time to go. We're still here. Jesus, the rapture has not yet happened. I suppose it could happen before the end of the service and none of us would gripe about that. But here we are. And Lord, if we pray these prayers individually and corporately as a church, Lord, use us, then we must agree to the terms when you say, I'd like to use you. And even for us as a church, recognizing the value of this, thank you for all your provision and sovereign leading and providence. It's for all these transitions that'll happen. We're grateful for who you are. We're excited about year 31 for Calvary Chapel in the Ozarks. Should you tarry, Lord Jesus, we're excited about the next 30 years. No idea what that's going to look like. And we almost fancifully imagine that the United States of America will still be in good shape in 30 years from now. Who knows? Well, you do. In the meantime, it's not who cares, but it's a sense of nothing changes. Because people all around us and people to the ends of the earth still need Jesus, still need the gospel. And for us as saints, saved people, we still need the sanctifying work of your Holy Spirit. We need more Bible in more places. Grateful for callings and roles, offices, positions that are here working. Thank you for the gifts that you've given to Pastor Josh, and would you magnify those and expand those. Bless, Lord, your people. We love you, Lord. Not much more to say than that. We love you. I guess we should add this. We trust you. We trust you because you're God. Just because we can't see the end from the beginning, we'd be a little bit ridiculous to think that maybe your vision is obscured. You see it all. You know it all. In your eternal perspective, it's all as good as done. So thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand, church. One last thing, if I'd be asking you to do, I'm being a little bit silly here. If you know someone that wants a couple cats, we've got a couple pets that need to be rehomed. God's good. God's good. I'm genuinely excited about what He has in store. Genuinely, it's the wrong word, but I don't know what other word to use. Hate the leaving. But this is the idea, right? For us, if we say, you are the Lord, by default, that means, A, we're not. And B, that puts us in the category of servant. And guess what? It's not up to servants to call the shots. And the thing that He asks us to do, He typically asks us to do things that kind of come naturally for us in like a spiritual sense and in spiritual giftings and callings and opportunities. And the things that He asks us to do are typically things that we love doing. And in my pastoral ministry, I should mention this, that if I were asked or allowed to do anything else besides what I get to do in faithfully delivering the word from this pulpit, just week after week, I would have probably always said, I would love to run a school ministry. And the Lord said, yeah, I already know that. That's why I had you thinking that. And the people that you already know, 17 time zones from now in the southern hemisphere, they're already looking for, asking for, praying about someone who will come and do exactly that. And they don't have anyone to do it. So, okay, Lord, but what about this? I've already got it covered in more than capable hands. Church, be the church. Love you guys. See you next week.